So let's get back to you then and your growing up years. How about the first house you remember? Where was that?
My first house was in March of 1945. Might have been renting it for all I know. It had a big old charcoal boiler in the center of it. I can remember my dad opening it up and throwing that charcoal in there, and that was the only heat we had in the house.
And where was that?
That was in Wichita, and he was working there and there on the line in March of 45. He was given that position in June of 45. So to go down and start meeting people in Tulsa and getting around, and he left my mother and my sister at that time with his parents, my grandmother and grandfather, in Wellington. And I spent the summer of 1945. And then I found out we were going to move then to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I remember driving down there with my grandfather, first time arriving in Tulsa.
And you're 4 years old about that time then, 1945.
Well, in June, I was five.
Okay.
My grandfather used to like to tease me, and he'd always say, "Tommy, we're lost. I don't know how to get home." And I'd start crying. Oh, gosh, I couldn't stand the thought I'd never see my home again or my parents or anything like that. I remember when we got into Tulsa, he started teasing me about being lost. But anyway, my dad bought a really nice home down there. It was $12,000.
Here in Tulsa?
Here in Tulsa, 29th place, just to the west of Peoria, on 29th place. A really nice home. It seemed like a mansion to us.
For $12,000.
He bought this brick home, which is a two-story brick home on 29th place. So we pull in there, and the first thing I wanted to do was go out in the neighborhood and see if there was any kids. And so they released me. You wouldn't do that nowadays, but so I run over this other house because I heard they said they had a son over there, and he was my age. His name was Bundy Hammond, and I've known him all my life and still are good friends with him. I went to Lee School, to kindergarten, starting in September of 45.
Lee Elementary is your first school.
I spent all 7 years, kindergarten and 6 years, at Lee School, named after General Lee. So the seventh grade, I went to Horseman, which was quite an experience.
Why do you say that?
Well, they had this deal where if you were in the seventh grade, like we were, that when you got there, the boys in eighth grade and ninth grade, they would come along and pull your pants down.
Yep.
Boys will be boys, yep. I guess. And I didn't like that. So I said, I'm not going to ride the bus anymore. I'm going to start walking. And it was quite a long walk from Horseman to 29th place. It really was. But I said, I'm not going to let that happen to me. They did that the first couple of days I was on the bus. So I didn't do it anymore. But anyway, it was quite interesting. A lot of my good friends there. And I met other friends that were friends of mine the rest of my life. And then at that particular time, my father had done so well, he sold the home there, and we moved to Boldwood Acres, 45th place, which is just to the west of Lewis. And then in 1955, I started the eighth grade in a new high school, Edison High School.
And then that's where you graduated from Edison.
I graduated.
During those years, and your father in aviation and the airline business, were you interested in planes and flying?
Absolutely. They had this jet they brought over from France in like 48, 49. It was a twin-engine jet airplane that Beechcraft was thinking about selling. And as a young child, I got to go up in a jet and fly around that in the late 40s, which was incredible. Beech decided not to buy it. My dad was flying all the time. He bought trainers and he'd sell those, in addition to the first airplane that came out with the V-tail Bonanza in 1947. And it was like unbelievable to have an airplane with a V-tail on it. From 45 to 47, he was mainly selling Twin Beach aircraft. That's who the oil companies buy from. I'm jumping around here a little bit. From 45 to 47, selling Twin Beaches, which was used in World War II to haul 4, 5, 7, 8 people, the higher-ranking people, to fly someplace. It had two engines on it. The tail was down. Didn't have a nose gear on it. And the Army used them during World War II, Army Air Force. Then they made a commercial version of it. It was pretty much the same, but they just made it look pretty nice inside. And so he sold a lot of those to the oil company. 1947, the Bonanza came out. That was an extremely popular airplane. That was a plane that you could buy for $7,000. It went 180 miles an hour. My dad sold a lot of those aircraft. And then the Twin Bonanza came out in 1950.
Since he was a pilot, was he flying these planes as he sold them?
Yes.
So what a combination of being a salesman, a pilot, and loving planes. So then did you as a family, did you fly to destinations?
Well, that's funny. The plane was called a Howard. It was made during World War II. and it had double wings on it. It was a staggered wing beach because one of the wings was forward of the second wing. We sold one in Buffalo, New York. So we flew that airplane up there, and I was, I guess, 9 years old or 10 years old. We landed, sold the airplane, and then we rode a train down to Washington, D.C., and he took me to the Capitol and went by the White House and all the monuments that you see. And I remember as a young man, I was highly impressed. One of our cousins was there, and he was a captain in the Navy, and he took us around also. And so that was a memory I will not forget. Every place we went until I was old enough to fly myself, we'd fly in the airplane. We'd fly to Colorado some and go fishing in Colorado. Certainly in business deals, he wouldn't take me because I was a kid. But as far as family vacations, he always had a demonstrator available. We would fly to see family in Wellington, fly over to Enid to see family. We'd go down to Dallas quite a bit. And so I grew up doing that. And most of the times, he'd put me on his lap and let me fly until I finally got old enough to start getting my license, which was 1957 when I was 16.
So did you get your license at 16?
I soloed, but you couldn't get your private license until you were 17. I got it when I was 17, and I flew continuously through high school. You know, I'd get my buddies, and we'd fly someplace. And when I was in college, I could also use the airplane. I was a Phi Gamma Delta, and I'd get all my Phi Gamma friends and my bonanza, and we'd fly down to Shreveport and have a big party with Rushies and trying to get them. So I flew all my life. And when I went to OU, they had other upgrades like getting a commercial rating, instructor rating, an instrument rating. I received all those ratings at the University of Oklahoma using their airplanes.
Well, I suppose everybody wanted to be the friend of Tom Clark.
I had a lot of friends. I don't know why, but I'll say I had a lot of friends. I had a great time. I'll tell you what, the most interesting thing that you got to think about this is that I was always very independent. And my dad was always gone a lot doing business. So I wanted to kind of be on my own. So when I was 14 years old, my uncle has a small defense plant up there where they make parts for defense and everything from the airplanes. And I didn't even think much about it. I've been throwing newspapers since 11. I had about $60, $70. I went out and rode a bus by myself. Now I'm 14 years old, Wellington, Kansas up there, and get off and go out and want to buy me a car. You could drive in Kansas at 14. So I bought a Model A Ford. And I found a shack over a garage. I got a job in the defense plant in Wichita working up there. I was making a dollar nickel an hour. I was 14 years old, and I had a car, my own apartment, and I had money, which is a dollar nickel an hour, 40-hour week. I was having the time of my life. That was just during the summer. School starts. I come back to Tulsa. 15, I go back up there, and I bought a 47 Ford. Same scenario. Then when I was 16, my dad gave me a job in Tulsa because I could now drive there, and I was delivered parts for Tulsa there. Also, he had me painting the hangars out there. I'd go out and paint the hangars and so on. He gave me $1.25, I think.
Who were you delivering parts to?
For example, there was an expert on avionics. He had special testing equipment. They'd want me to deliver the avionics over to him. He'd fix them, and when they're done, I'd go back and get them. And if they needed particular tires from a tire distributor, I'd go get the tires from them, stuff like that. I never forget that first summer. I was over there and I was walking out. I happened to drop one of the avionics parts and I picked it back up one end. I told this guy I dropped it and I figured it might be broken so he should look at it. And he said, "That's amazing. Most young men like you would cover that up." And he said, "I'm going to call Gale Clark and tell him what happened." He said, "You won't get any trouble. I'm going to take care of you," because he didn't realize that was my dad. But I didn't have the heart to tell him. So he calls over there and he said, "Don't fire this kid. He was honest." And he said, "Well, that's my son, so I assure you I'm not going to fire him, but I'm glad he did that." I just ran air for him when I was 16. When I was 17, I started flying to get towards my license, which you had to be 17. And I got that on my birthday, June 6, 59.
As a young pilot at 17, did you ever have any harrowing experiences?
That's a really good question. I really was a good pilot, and I say it humbly as I can. I was really an excellent pilot, and I don't remember ever being scared or worried. Or I always felt I was confident. I knew what I was doing. I was in control. And you can tell from my experience growing up 14 years old, living by myself, working, that I was very independent. I hang around guys up there, they're 18, 19, 20, and we go to a bar and have a drink, and I felt like I was a grown-up. I really wasn't, but I learned a lot from dealing with people and talking to people. And, of course, when I got to OU, then I majored in BBA, Bachelor of Business Administration, and learned all the accounting and finance and sales and all that sort of stuff.
Because you were intending then to be in your father's business?
From day one.
From early on, as a child?
Exactly right.
You knew you were going to fly, you wanted to be in the business, and you wanted to sell airplanes.
And make money.
Right.
I came attached to making money when I was young like that. It really allowed me to do things I like to do. That sounds greedy, doesn't it? I don't know.
Well, no. People work to make money, and that's what
it's
about.
A lot of people do, but at 14, it sounds a little weird, doesn't it?
But you had the thrill of being in an industry that you enjoyed anyway.
I just loved it.
So it just made sense that you would want to continue and then make money doing that.